You are listening to The Academy, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
And he speaks over Benjamin and Joseph. And when he came to Joseph, he said, Joseph is a fruitful vine. He's going to be fruitful wherever he goes. But the question is, what makes Joseph fruitful? The first is what his father speaks. His father says, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring. Near a spring. The first reason is that Joseph is fruitful is that he's very close to a spring. He has a constant supply of that water. The Word of God speaks to us about that constant supply of water. And for me, that water is the grace of God. That water is our baptismal blessing. That water is a constant promise of God and our relationship with the Word of God. Thank you, Jenny. If we read the book of Psalms, chapter 1, speaks about being planted near a spring of water. And the most important and the most explicit is Revelation chapter 22. I love Revelation chapter 22 and how that text speaks about being near water and how that relates to being fruitful. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great city, a great street of the city. On each side of that river, the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Every month. Because of that constant flow of water. For me, that flow of water is the Word of God and having a living relationship with the Word of God. Bible study. My father, I shared this during our mission festival, shared with me about their pastor in Denver, Colorado. And their pastor is Budetta, and they have an Oromo congregation, NALC mission congregation, and that congregation is growing. And my father, who was a minister of the gospel for over 50 years, tells me that he learned something from Budetta. And I said, what did you learn? He says, Budetta teaches us the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, helps us to study the Word of God, helps us to read the Word of God. He says, all he does as a pastor is connect the congregation with the Word of God, and the congregation is becoming fruitful every way. In their giving, in their prayer life, in their relationship, in their marriage, in their wisdom, in their kindness, in their generosity, in their stewardship, and in their evangelism. Why? Because the Word of God is flooding their life, blessing their life. They are planted next to a river of life. And Paul speaks on the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to present a bride that is without blemish and without any, how does it say it in Ephesians chapter 5? Spots or blemish by washing of her face with the water of the word. By washing of her face with the water of the word. That is what a congregation needs to get. The flood of the Word of God. Amen. The preaching of the Word of God. The presence of the Word of God. A constant abundance of the Word of God. Where there is an abundant water. Joseph is fruitful because the major secret that his father tells is he is planted next to a spring. His feet is in the spring. His life is connected to that water that supplies, constantly enriches his life. That's the first point. Point number two. Why is Joseph fruitful? The The second reason is, for me, Joseph is strongly planted in the love of his father. He is truly loved by his father. And when someone is really told and senses and experiences, I like what Elaine says, the emotion, the feeling, the assurance, when a person is assured that they are loved. Joseph, apart from his 12 brothers, always wears a special jacket that was prepared by his father. And that is a jacket of many colors, prepared as a sign of his father's love. So Joseph walks around knowing confidently that he is loved. He's already approved. He's already saved and redeemed and forgiven and appointed and planted to be fruitful. He's not going to do something to impress his father. His father is already pleased with him. His father already loves him. So that is a key, that he is always loved and assured. One of the problems today, a lot of people are not sure whether they are doing the right thing or not. We're not going to be fruitful to please God. We're going to be fruitful because God is already pleased with us. God is not going to say, I want you 100-fold. He's here. God is already satisfied with what his son has done on my behalf, on your behalf. Whether we preach good or not, whether we are successful in our ministry or not, that is not what pleases God. We have to walk with the assurance of God's love. We're not going to do anything to please God. God is already pleased with what his son has done. So Joseph walks around in the love of his father. Joseph walks around loved by God. Loved by God to love others. In the book of John chapter 15, the most important condition of being fruitfulness is love. I was so amazed how he embedded John 15:16 in a verse between John chapter 15 verse 9 all the way to 15 verse 17. The word is in the lake of love, you find a small spot of being fruitfulness. So the right condition of being fruitful is being surrounded by an abundant love of God and love for each other. Love is a critical precondition. When people hate each other, when people are in a great discord, in a great discomfort, something that kills fruitfulness in a congregation is also lack of love. Loved by God and love for each other. And Jesus says, I love you with the same love that my Father has loved me. My Father loved me and I loved you and I encourage you to love each other. So it's a three layer. My Father loved me, and you can imagine, and you can think, and you can pray, and you can reflect on the love between the Father and the Son. And he says, the same intensity, I love you with the same love. And he says, I want you to love one another with that love. And when we walk in that love, when we walk and swim in that stream of love, and then our life starts to become abundantly prosperous. In 2008, I went back to Ethiopia for the first time. I was out of that country for over a decade, and I lived in the United States and went to school, and I really, really hated going back to Ethiopia because of the communist experience and because of what my father went through, and I decided not to go back. 100% totally disconnected and forgot about that country. And the president of the church called me one time. I was on the plane and he says, we're really, really in need of help. Why don't you come and visit us? And we have a big conference. And I went for a conference of the church's centennial anniversary, 100 years. So they had a big conference in a big stadium. And I went to preach and speak at that conference. And when I went, that stadium was probably 2/3 empty. A church of millions of members can't even packed one stadium. It was about two-thirds empty. There were lots of empty chairs, and the choir was tired, and the church was in dire, dire crisis. And I asked, what's going on? And the church has been in conflict for over 6 years. When we got there and when I spoke and investigated, there were lawsuits and conflicts and hatred and factions and cliques, and there were over 119 lawsuits in the life of the church. So one sinner against another, one pastor against another pastor, one president against another pastor, one ethnic group, another ethnic group. The church was in conflict, so the church was not fruitful. They were losing members. They were just in dire crisis. And right away, what I felt is we have to drop everything and work on reconciliation, peacemaking, and reconstructing and rebuilding relationship. So we were going back and forth working on that reconciliation, and I found out that most of the people who were the key actors in that conflict have left the country and they live in the United States. And I asked them, you have to go back with me. And 8 of those key leaders decided to go back with me, and I led that delegation back to Ethiopia. And they went around and washed the feet of everyone, literally falling down on every feet and asking for forgiveness and trying to mend and rebuild the relationship of the church. Amen. So the church that was divided into two, and the lawsuits, 100 lawsuits were retracted from the courts, and cases were closed, and people got reconciled, and that church started to boom again. Now there are over 7 million. Now there is no stadium that is empty. Now there is no church that is empty because of love. When there is no love, there is no growth. When there is no love in a council, when there is no love in committees, when there is no love in families, when there is no love in congregations, we can never be fruitful. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you want to be fruitful, you have to walk in love. And Joseph was fruitful because his life, he was born of a loving couple. You can imagine the passion of Jacob for Rachel. That was a passionate, deep love. He served Laban, Rachel's father, for 14 years because he loved her. That was a pure, true love that he loved. He was born out of love. And he lived in love, loved by his father. And Joseph loved all the way to the end, forgiving and loving his brothers. When you walk in love, there is nothing but fruitfulness in our life. The third point in Joseph's life, the reason for his fruitfulness is he was a dreamer. Dreamers and visionaries are fruitful. And he was dreaming about the future. He was dreaming, and God was giving him a dream. And God was giving him a beautiful dream about his brothers and his father and mother. And he was a dreamer about the future. And dreamers, people who imagine about the future positively, greatly, who can see what God can do in the future. And you know, in Bible stories, there are a lot of dreams. And every night when we read stories to our kids, Lapsi always asks me about all these dreams. He says, the Bible is full of dreams, but he says, I have never seen a dream. How can I see a dream, Daddy? And the simplest answer I give him, do you want to see a dream? He says, yes. Go to bed and sleep. In order to see a dream, we have to rest in God. Dream is not a product of deep thinking. Dream is not a product of deep research. Dream comes when we rest in God. When we are confidently, deeply rested in God. God says in the book of Psalms, rest and know that I am God. Until we know that God is God, until we are completely rested in God, we can't see the future positively. So Joseph was a dreamer. he was dreaming about the future. Because he was always wearing his father's jacket, a jacket of love, a grace of love, a dream of love, he was always living in that great dream and great future. What's our dream about the NALC? What's our dream about our congregation? What's our dream about our children? What's our dream about ourselves? What's our dream about our ministry? Great dreams. Joseph had a dream. You know, that great dream came because he was rested in the love of his father. He was very confident in the love of God. And he was just living. I like that word, flood. I get that word from Jim Nesting, and he says, let your congregation be flooded with grace of God. He was rested in the flood of the grace of God. He was a visionary and he was a dream. No vision, no fruit. You know, in the book of Habakkuk, that small book with three chapters, the first chapter is life in a deep valley, in darkness, in a problem, in trouble, in despair, in hopelessness. And then the second chapter speaks about a vision, a dream. And the third chapter speaks about fruitfulness. A transition from despair to fruitfulness, what carried the life and the ministry of Habakkuk from that deep valley and darkness into a great fruitful life, is because of that journey from despair into fruitfulness through vision. The Lord says, write down the vision. Let people run with it. Even though it delays, it will come to its fruition. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Just write it down and make it plain. Visionaries are fruitful. Joseph was a dreamer. The first point. I'm almost done, David Keener. I'm left with 10 more points. The first point in the life of Joseph being fruitful is he was willing to pay the price for that dream to come to its fruition. It's not very easy to see a dream and live through the turmoil. God shows us the Alpha and God shows us the Omega. God shows us the beginning and the end. He doesn't tell us the beta or the kappa or the delta or the gamma or the epsilon or all those things in the middle of the alpha and omega. Joseph saw a dream, but he did not see the experience of being sold into Egypt. He did not see the valleys of the prison. He did not see the betrayal of his brothers. He did not see the mistreatment and all kinds of pain that he was going to go through. Paying the price, carrying the cross. Ministry is done by the grace of God, but it is not easy. It is not easy. There is a price to pay. It's an extra mile to go. It's a sacrifice. A sacrifice to be paid. There are ups and downs, but pain. Why? Because of God's call, because of God's mission, because of God's passion. The Lord has sent us into the world, taking a lot of time away from our family, traveling, long meetings, uncomfortable conversations, sometimes being disrespected, sometimes being betrayed, lots of pain, ups and downs, sometimes being happy and sometimes being unhappy. Sometimes running into conflict and discomfort. Brothers and sisters, ministry is not meant to be easy. Carrying the cross of Jesus Christ is not easy. Being patient is extremely important. A lot of people fail to bear that cross and they leave the ministry. They leave responsibilities. They abandon the call. Joseph could have done it. He could have abandoned the dream while he was in Potiphar's house. He can be involved in all kinds of problems and in all kinds of relationships and just ended his life at Potiphar's house. But he went all the way to greatness because he was willing to pay the price. Willing to pay the price. And I call that the discipline of wilderness. Discipline of wilderness. Walking in the wilderness with Jesus takes a great deal of discipline. Fasting and praying. Staying with God. Especially for those who have left the ELCA. And who have declared our decision to stand under the holy word of God. Under the authority of the scripture. Know that the day you declare that, you are under warfare. You are under attack. Spiritually, you are under attack. So it takes a discipline in the wilderness. Discipline in the wilderness. Paying the price. Walking the thin line. Because you have now, you know, when I decided to leave the ELCA, a bishop who was a friend of mine from Philadelphia called me. Her name is Claire Burkott. She's a bishop of Southeastern Pennsylvania Synod. I was her assistant to the bishop in that synod for a year. That's all I could do. We were like 180 degree different theologically. And but we really liked each other, and Claire called me. At that time I was speaking and writing in Lutheran Core and Word Alone, and I just was speaking strongly in contradiction to what the ELCA has decided. And she called me and she said, "Gabriel, it's not good for you to do that." I said, "Then what shall I do?" She said, "Submerge. Submerge." She said, "Don't speak, don't write. If you disagree, just disagree quietly. Just submerge. And just hide yourself and just don't speak and don't be public about it." And when I went and studied the word Sodom and Gomorrah, one of those two words mean submerge. Very interestingly, it's just to hide and get deeper and not show you and be in agreement with what's going on. We have decided not to submerge by the very fact that we voted, we laid our congregations out, we are now in the NALC, we are countercultural, we are antithetical to what's going around us, and we have decided not to submerge. And then now we need the discipline of wilderness, the discipline of being the minority, the discipline of being alone, the discipline of being attacked and walking. Joseph had the discipline of the wilderness. He was working hard, no matter when you planted him. In somebody else's house, he was working hard at Potiphar's house. Put him in prison, he was working hard in prison. Put him in Pharaoh's house, he was working hard. Wherever he was, he had the discipline of wilderness. And then Joseph had a prayer life. He was a man of prayer. No fruitfulness without serious prayer life. How is our prayer life? Without prayer, we cannot be fruitful. Listening to God, relationship with God, reading the Word of God, worshiping, singing, fasting, devoting and dedicating our life. And after going through that, Joseph had two sons. The first one was Manasseh, and the second one was Ephraim. Very interestingly, the first one was Manasseh, but the most famous one was Ephraim. Even though Manasseh was the older son. And the meaning of Manasseh is, "My God, help me to forget all my trouble." In order to be fruitful, we have to forget the negative things in our life, the negative baggage in our life. And we have to let go of the past. If we are holding on to the past, we are walking like this, we have to let go of the past. In order for Ephraim, the real fruit to come, Manasseh has to come. Which is forgetting the past. Forgetting the pain. Forgetting the ugliness. Something that clogs the flow of the Word of God. The flow of great ideas, great imaginations in our life, we have to forget the past. In order for Ephraim to come, Manasseh has to come first. How can we hold on anger and bitterness, ill feelings, negativity? Those things have to be cleared off of our mind. We have to prepare our entire spirit, soul, and mind and life for God to sow that pure seed on us. Manasseh came, and Joseph said, in the wilderness, in a foreign land, my God helped me to forget my pain. Wow. He helped me forget my pain. We have to let go of that pain. We have to let go of the pain in our life so that our life can be fruitful. We have to walk with healing. And then Ephraim was born. And Ephraim was born, he was fruitful, and Joseph was very happy with that arrangement. Manasseh is my older son, and Ephraim is my younger son, and he was very happy with that. And then when Jacob came to Egypt, he wanted them to be blessed. Here is Manasseh, and here is Ephraim, and Joseph, Jacob is sitting right this, and Joseph was presenting his two sons to be blessed. And the right hand on Manasseh, the left hand on Ephraim. But when he brought Jacob's, did this, and he put his right hand on Ephraim and the left hand on Manasseh. Because now the right order is fruitfulness must be the older son. Fruitfulness must be the continuation of Joseph's legacy. Manasseh had one mission, which is helping him to prepare for Ephraim. Ephraim was the main person, but Ephraim will never come until Manasseh comes, until he forgets and lets go of that pile and mountain of bitterness. He doesn't come. Now his mission is accomplished. Therefore, he receives this blessing, and Ephraim comes, and the legacy of Joseph continues through Ephraim. So, in order for us to be fruitful, we have to let go of the past pain. Joseph is a fruitful vine. My prayer is that our mission, we've been going through this exercise and this practice and these meetings year after year. Now I pray that 2016 we will come out with great visions. Let's dream big. Let's do whatever we can. Our bishop, our executive council, the NALC, is an extremely mission-driven church. They want to be behind us in whatever way, in whatever imagination that we have. We've been putting up very successful mission festival conferences, and we've received great reviews. Thank you for all the things that you have done, for the planning, for the process, for the questions, for the presentations. And we've received those great reviews. Great reviews from what the mission, the Great Commission Society is doing for the websites and for the connections. Great reviews from everywhere. And now we want to be resourceful to our congregations for renewal, for new starts, for global mission. Globally, we are very known, very respected. A lot of churches around the world want to relate to us. Let's dream big. Let's have a dream for Asia, for Africa, for Latin America, for Europe. Let's do some things. Just facilitate and allow people to enjoy and experience and bear fruit. And let's encourage our congregations and mission districts to start planting house churches, congregations. We dream big, being confident, not with what we have in our pockets, but confident with the jacket of love that God has put on us through the blood of His Son. Let's dream big and let's go and be fruitful. 2016 is a fruitful year, but our fruitfulness is as big as our dream. No dream, no fruit. Small dream, small fruit. Big dream, big fruit. Joseph had big national dream. After 20, 30, 40 years, it happened. Those 11 sheep came and bowed down before Joseph's sheep in Egypt. He saw it with his eyes, and it became a blessing to nation and to nations around the world. And let's go and be a blessing to this nation and to the nations around the world. This table that we're sitting around is a mission table. It's a dream table. It's a vision table. It's a prayerful table. And it's a fruitful table. Let's go out and bear some fruit for the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Let's stand. Hold each other's hand.
We'll just kind of wave at you.
I will start and I will conclude. But please, feel free to jump in and pray.
I feel like we're at a Greek wedding. Okay.
Father, we give you thanks for the promise that we have in the Bible. Thank you for planting us near that spring. The word of God that flows around us, in us, through us, every day, that is readily available to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, I just pray that the love you have for us comes through everything we do. Here we pray.
To take the time to let you let us, your word, your love, your peace, so that we can more effectively minister to others.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, the world is a dark place and it's turning violent, and God, give us courage. Lord, give us courage to not back down, but to stand firm,
yes,
to bear the truth.
Jesus.
Remind us, O Father, that this is your church, your bride. It's not ours. It's not ours to control. It is yours.
Yes.
Help us to be faithful to your call and whatever that may be.
Yes, Father.
Lord, for those who are still holding on to hurt and anger, we pray for their healing.
Yes.
We pray that they would be set free. We pray for them to know the joy of your salvation, and then to live in that. Lord, have mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray you would just blow through here like a violent wind.
Yes,
did on Pentecost Day. We strong with your Holy Spirit, fill our churches with your Holy Spirit, fill our lives. Lord, we surrender to you. We bow down to you.
Yes.
We submit to you. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what we want. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray and give thanks for the power of your Holy Spirit. If indeed you call and gather a younger generation among us, may we be up to the task of creating disciples.
Yes.
And releasing them to create other disciples in mission.
Amen.
Lord, may we have the humility to learn how we can do that in our generation.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, breathe on us. We're just dead bones. Lord, and we want your Spirit to make us fresh again.
Yes.
To life, and truly, 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 oh Lord, be people like our brothers and sisters some 1900 years ago who were pretty vulnerable, and you used them to turn an empire upside down, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We want to be like that. We pray, oh Lord, you would again breathe on us with your precious Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Father God, we stand firm on your word, as it is written in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, that we would forget the former things and the things of old. That behold, you are doing a new thing. You are causing rivers to spring up in dry places.
Yes.
You are creating a way in the wilderness. Thank you, Father, that those places, those dry places are not out there.
Amen.
that that wilderness is not just out there, but that there have been dry places within our lives, Lord. And there has been wilderness in our lives internally, Lord, in our minds, in our hearts, and in our spirit. But because we stand firm on your word, we are in full confidence that your rivers of living water are springing up inside of us, and they shall flow from our bellies, Lord. Yes. We thank you that you are bringing order to the chaos that is within us, Lord, that we are able to stand boldly as your people who are called by your name. And so we humble ourselves, Lord. We seek your face. We repent and turn from our wicked ways. We pray, Father God, with the confidence that you are hearing from heaven and you are healing our land.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God, for all that you have already planned for us. For when your son said, it is finished, he meant it was a done deal. And so everything that we need, we have received. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That we are empowered, we are equipped, that weapons may form, but they will not prosper. We thank you, Lord, that we can just stand firmly and boldly on what the word is, because your word never goes out and returns void. But it always accomplishes what it is sent forward to do. Hallelujah to your name, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Amen, Lord. Jesus.
Father God, thank you for bringing those here around this table. And please be with us as we submit our plans to you for your blessing. Help us to find the connections that you have already in place for us. Help us to find the people that you have planned to do this work. Please bless those that were unable to join us for the time that they give. Thank you for all these people, for those supports that you've put behind us and for us and underneath us. Bless this work, Lord. We give it to you.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I give you praise that yours is the superpower that reigns supreme in this room.
Yes.
That the blessing and the abundance with which you have given us so much fruit in our lives is so vital to what we do here.
Yes.
And for that, we give you praise.
Praise Jesus.
Gracious God, we pray that you would be with all of our congregations in the North American Lutheran Church, that we would not submerge, but that we would emerge as people that are committed to proclaiming the gospel, that we will no longer hide that light under a bushel basket, but that, Lord, we would enter this new year fully convinced that we can no longer live externally in ways that are inconsistent with the internal truths that you have given us. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to wear our hearts and our faith and our sleeve to proclaim you loudly in every corner of this world.
Amen.
For those you are stirring right now, Jesus, for the hearts that are being stirred and called out, for the dreams that you are placing on their souls, that they wouldn't lose confidence while they wander through the desert to get to the end game that you've promised, the vision you've shown them, that you would send us alongside them to offer them a cold drink of water and remind them that you are the living water that will quench all thirst. That they would step out in bold confidence, and that you would quell their fears, and that you would protect them by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Lord, you are a blessed assurance, and may we, as we are filled with encouragement and joy from this meeting, go out to the congregations and the people that we serve in this ministry with similar joy, and impart to them your blessed assurance, and encourage them to be patient, but yet committed to moving forward, to doing great things and fruitful for you.
Amen.
Lord, your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, too, we just pray against the evil one in Jesus' name. Saints, you're behind us.
Yes.
Pray
Jesus.
A wall of fire
around
each person in their families, their church families. Shield of protection, mighty fortress.
Father, we confess over and over that we can't do anything without you. Our church needs you. Our pastors are hungry for you. Our congregations yearn for you. Our buildings will be empty without you. Father, I pray for all congregations in the North American Lutheran Church, for our pastors, for the council members, for the lay leaders, for the members, for everyone involved in this ministry, in this denomination. I pray you fill every soul with the fire of your Holy Spirit. I pray you fill every mouth with the word of God. Every heart with the love of God. And cover us with your grace. Help the North American Lutheran Church to be a church that bears witness to the power and presence of the kingdom of God in North America and around the world.
Amen.
Bless our mission. Bless our gathering this time. Make it fruitful. Bless 2016 for us. A year that you have given us. We are here to receive power, wisdom, vision, insight, experience, encouragement from you. Help us to step out of this building tomorrow with a clear understanding of what to do.
Amen.
So that we can go and bear fruit for your kingdom.
Amen.
And at the end that we will sit back and say, thank you for what you have done through a broken vessel like ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray and give all this into your faithful hands. In the mighty and matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thanks again for listening.